Well, 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 hello there, ladies and gentlemen. The MSS crew is back on the attack. And thanking you for joining us here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. The day's date is Saturday, September 12th, 2015. And this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you yet another exciting internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, as promised, we are back again, and I am here broadcasting from the Spring Hills Marriott outside of Pittsburgh, PA, in town for a wedding. Hopefully it will be fun and games, but I don't know. But anyway, without any further delays, I would like to introduce the presenter for tonight's program, and he just so happens to be the MSS director, Miguel Amaro himself. Yep, folks, we drug him out of his office and into the studio so that he could put together a program for your listening enjoyment. If everyone could just please sit back, grab your favorite drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program. Miguel, the microphone is yours.
Thanks, Luis. Hi, everybody. Welcome to my presentation here on Michael's Saturday Surprise for this Saturday. Have to start out by thanking the doc, because in his marathon presentation, he did a little musical show where he presented Hawaiian chant. That reminded me of the Jack Benny program that I'm going to present for you guys tonight. February 1st, 1948. Jack goes to see Ronald Coleman's picture.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike. Front page news. In the nation's great tobacco markets, the famous Crosley poll has just finished asking independent tobacco experts,
what cigarette do you smoke?
Over 50% more named Lucky Strike than any other brand.
Yes, by a 50% margin over any other brand, independent tobacco experts name Lucky Strike first choice. Lucky Strike first choice.
These experts are the independent tobacco buyers, auctioneers, and warehousemen. The men who see who buys what tobacco at the auctions. And when independent tobacco experts like these name Lucky Strike first choice for personal smoking enjoyment, then you know.
LSMFT. LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So smoke the smoke tobacco experts smoke Lucky Strike. Remember,
by a 50% margin over any other brand, independent tobacco experts name Lucky Strike first choice. Lucky Strike first choice. The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, last night was a big night in Hollywood. The occasion was a special showing of Ronald Coleman's new picture, A Double Life. Naturally, all the important stars in Hollywood received invitations to attend this gala affair. And while all this was going on, where was our little star?
Rochester, hand me my pajamas. I'm going to bed.
Here you are, boss.
No, my woolen ones. The nights are awfully cold.
I know it's cold, but you've already got 3 comforters, 2 quilts, an afghan, and 4 electric blankets with a direct line to Boulder Dam.
Never mind. Just turn out the lights and I'll go to sleep.
Don't you want me to read to you like I always do?
Yes. Pick up one of those trade papers, either the Variety or the Reporter.
There okay. Now, let's see. Say, boss, look what it says.
What?
Tonight at the Academy Theater, there will be a special showing of Ronald Coleman's new Universal International picture, A Double Life.
I know.
It says all the big stars in Hollywood have been invited to attend.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't they mail you an invitation?
Well, frankly, I don't know whether they did or not. I didn't even bother looking.
Oh, boss, come now.
What?
This morning when the mailman came by, you grabbed his bag and went through it like an octopus with a mix master in each hand.
I was looking for a reply from Dorothy Dix. Anyway, who wants to go to a Hollywood premiere? You always see the same people. Barbara Stanwyck will be there with Robert Taylor. Lauren Bacall will be there with Humphrey Bogart. Lana Turner will be there with... Let me see today's paper.
Chester.
Believe me, I'm not mad because I didn't get an invitation to the preview. As a matter of fact, if Universal Studios, if William Getz, the executive producer, if Ronald Coleman himself called me on the phone right now, I wouldn't go to that... I'll get it, Rochester, I'll get it. Hello?
Is this Sam's Meat Market?
No, it isn't.
Who was it, boss?
Oh, some guy wanted Sam's Meat Market.
Sam's Meat Market? That's the new place down the corner. They're having a big opening tonight.
They are?
Didn't you get an invitation to that either?
I wouldn't go if I did. You always see the same things.
Yeah, liver will be there with bacon. Sirloin will be there
now
with...
Now, cut that out! Now, Rochester, I'm going to bed, so turn out the light, will you?
You'll get it, boss. You'll get it.
I've got it. Hello?
Hello, Jack. This is Mary.
Oh, hello, Mary.
I'm glad I caught you. I thought maybe you had already left to see Ronald Coleman's picture.
No, Mary. I was supposed to go, but I don't know. When you've been a star as long as I have, you don't get excited about those things, you know.
Gee, and I thought we could go together.
No, Mary. I'm ready for bed.
Oh, that's too bad. I have two tickets.
What was that, Mary? What did you say? What did you say, Mary?
I said I've got the two tickets to Ronald Coleman's preview.
Mary, just because you got tickets, you don't have to be so nervous about it. Look, I was ready for bed, but I wouldn't let you down. So while I get dressed, you jump in a cab and pick me up in 10 minutes.
Okay, Jack. I may be a few minutes late. I want to stop off at the florist and get a course eye.
Good, good. While you're there, get one for yourself, too. I mean, come over as soon as you can. Goodbye. Rochester! Rochester, I'm going to the opening.
I knew Sam wouldn't let you down.
Not the meat market. Now stop jabbering and help me dress.
Hiya, Jackson. The door was open, so I came right in.
Oh, hello, Phil.
Where are you going?
Oh, I promised Mary I'd take her to a special showing of Ronald Coleman's new picture.
No kidding, Jackson. You mean you got an invitation?
I certainly did. That's why I'm putting on this tuxedo. You may not know it, Phil, but for the past 20 years, I've been rubbing elbows with the most important people in show business.
From the looks of them sleeves, you must have been rubbing them pretty hard.
All right, so it's a little thin around the elbows. Now, pardon me while I get dressed, will you?
I'll help you, Jackson. While you're putting on your shirt, I'll button your shoes.
Thanks, Phil. Oh, Rochester, hand me my wing collar, will you please?
Yes, sir. Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
You wear a size 15 and a half collar, and this is only a 14.
Oh, that's all right. We can make it work. Put it on.
Okay. Here's the collar button.
Yeah, I got it.
Now, hold still. Boy, this collar's really stiff.
Yeah.
Just a minute now. There, I got it.
Yeah.
How's that, boss?
I guess it's all right, but it's so tight I can hardly... Oh, darn it, slipped off the collar button. Try it again, Rochester.
Boss, this collar's too tight for you.
Well, pull it harder.
I'm getting it. Hold still. There.
Gosh, this collar's so tight I can hardly breathe. Phil, how do I look?
Like Herbert Hoover with a crew haircut.
Don't be so funny. Oh, there's Mary. Now, all I have to do is snap on this bow tie, and I'll be on my way. Darn it. There it goes again. Rochester, where's my bow tie?
It went out the window and headed for Capistrano.
Well, get me another one. Coming, Mary, coming. Phil, can I drop you off anyplace?
No, Jackson, I'll stay here. I'm a little hungry. Rochester, get me an olive and a glass.
Okay, Phil, make yourself at home, will you? Say, Mary, don't look now, but ever since we've been riding in this cab, there's been a moving van following us.
I know.
What?
So many times I've gone to the theater and found out I left the tickets on the piano. So this time I'm taking the piano with me.
Say, you know, Mary, that's a
good... Oh, quiet. You fall for everything. I've got the tickets right here. And the invitations, too. Well,
let me see. Universal International cordially invites you to attend a special showing of A Double Life starring Ronald Coleman. Say, gee, that's a beautiful invitation, isn't it?
Here you are, folks, Academy Theater.
Come on, Mary. How much is that, driver?
$1.60.
Oh, darn it.
Jack, what happened?
Nothing. Here you are, driver. Keep the change.
Thanks.
Jack, fix your collar.
I'm trying to, but darn it, I've lost my bow tie.
No, you haven't. They've got the searchlight on it. It'll be down in a minute.
Oh, yes. Here it comes, there. I got it. Oh, no, that's the one that was headed for Capistrano. Here it is. Fix my collar. There. Come on, Mary, let's go in. Gosh, look, all of us big stars are here. Come on, hurry.
Hold your own invitations, please. You spectators, stand back. Let them in. How do you do, Mr. Gable? Good evening, Mr. Taylor. How are you, Mr. Peck? How do you do, Miss Livingston? I told you spectators to stand back.
I'm with her!
Oh, well then go right in, mister.
Mister. He doesn't even know I'm Jack Benny.
Well, don't tell him. He has something to look forward to.
What?
Come on, Jack, hurry. The lights are starting to dim.
Okay. Hey, Mary, here are two seats here right in this row. A little more than halfway in. Follow me. Pardon me. Pardon me. Pardon me.
Pardon me. Pardon me.
Pardon me.
Pardon me.
Pardon me. Pardon me. Pardon me. Pardon me. Oh, darn it, there's only one seat. We'll have to go back. Pardon me, pardon me.
Pardon me, pardon me.
Pardon me, pardon me. Pardon me, pardon me.
Pardon me, pardon me.
Pardon me, pardon me. Pardon me, pardon me.
Jack, come back. You went out the exit.
Oh, yes. Here we are, Mary. Here are two seats on the aisle.
Good. Gee, Jack, we just made it. The travelogue is coming on.
Oh, yes.
As the sun comes up over the famous Diamond Head in Honolulu, we pay another visit to that land of enchantment resting far out in the blue Pacific, the Hawaiian Islands.
Well, Jack, Jack.
Huh?
It's me, Don Wilson.
Oh, hello, Don. I didn't see you sitting behind me. Who are you with?
Your quartet, the Sportsmen.
Oh, good, good.
And now let us pay a brief visit to one of the lesser-known islands, where we find Chief Humanukanui and his people doing their native dance.
Gee, this is good, isn't it,
Mary? Jack, Jack.
Don, I want to see this travelogue.
Shh, quiet back there.
Yes, Don, quiet. You're disturbing the people.
But Jack, what a coincidence. The quartet has a commercial worked out that fits to the music they're playing.
All right, but Don, not now. We're in a theater. Not now.
Now? Good.
Don.
Go ahead, fellas. Very softly.
Don, we're in the theater. I can't hear him. Don, you can't do this. We're in a theater. Make the boys be quiet.
Yeah, quiet back there.
Don, it's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Lucky strike. One we like. Firm and fully packed. Mighty free and easy on the draw. Speedy rings. Smoke a lucky strike. Smoke lucky strike.
People are looking at us. What's the matter with you?
Quiet back there.
Quality of product is essential to continuing success. Lucky are made of the fine of the light tobacco we confess.
Amid the rays of the setting sun. It's with heavy heart that we say goodbye to Hawaii, home of the pineapple, where everybody is on the dole. Oh, Fitzpatrick, if you pull any more of those pineapple jokes, you'll get canned.
How do you like that? He must be a friend of Phil Harris. Hey, Mary. Mary, here comes the feature picture.
Yeah, look. Ronald Coleman in A Double Life. Gee, what a crowd. Hurry, Jack, or we'll never get out to the lobby.
Okay. Gosh, Mary, that was one of the best pictures I ever saw. You know?
Yes, and it was such an appropriate title. A Double Life.
Yeah.
It really fits. Mr. Coleman was perfect as the Broadway star who was afraid to play Othello.
Well.
Oh, fine. I suppose you could have played Othello better than Ronald Coleman.
No, Mary, I don't think the people would like me and Ronnie's part in the picture. But then, on the other hand, do you think the public would have liked Coleman and the Horn Blows at Midnight?
They wouldn't have liked that picture with Eisenhower in it.
I guess not. Say, Mary. Mary, isn't that Mr. and Mrs. Coleman over there?
Ronnie and Benita? Where?
There. Just coming out of the theater.
Oh, say, Ronnie.
What is it, Benita?
Say, isn't that Jack Benny over there?
Where? Oh, for the love. Well, let's hurry, Benita. Perhaps he hasn't seen us.
I think he has. He's coming towards us.
Well, I've got an idea so he won't recognize me.
Ronnie, stop. What are you doing with my hat?
I'm going to wear it. Maybe he'll think I'm Tom Brenneman.
Yes, but then you'll have to kiss him.
Anyway, let's try and get rid of him quickly. I want to go to Ciro's and celebrate.
All right, but don't create a scene. Be pleasant to him, and perhaps he'll go away.
Yes, you tell me the same thing about your mother, and she's been with us for 20 years.
Well, Ronnie, Benita, how are you?
Hello, Jack.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Benita.
Say, Ronnie, your picture was simply wonderful.
Thank you, Jack. Glad you liked it.
Like it? You know, Ronnie, watching your performance this evening was one of the most enjoyable experiences I've ever had.
Oh, well.
Not only is A Double Life a great picture, but your acting was the finest I've ever seen on the stage or screen.
Now, Mary,
Gee, you were absolutely brilliant as Othello. And when you played yourself, you were so suave and so handsome.
Well,
Mary, stop. You're embarrassing him.
Benita, you keep out of this.
You know, Ronnie, my favorite scene in the whole picture was when you, as Othello, accused your wife, Desdemona, of being unfaithful because you saw another man carrying her handkerchief.
Oh, you mean the speech where I said, by heaven I saw the handkerchief in his hand. Oh, perjured woman, thou dost stone my heart and makest me call what I intend to do a murder, which I thought a sacrifice. I saw the handkerchief.
Yes, that's the speech I mean. Only, Ronnie, if I were playing the part, I believe I would have done it something like this.
By heaven. I saw the handkerchief in his hand. Oh, perjured woman! Thou hast stolen my heart and makes me call what I intend to do a murder.
Which I thought a sacrifice.
I saw the hanky.
There, how did that sound?
Wonderful. Phil Harris couldn't have read it better.
He couldn't have read it at all. But Ronnie, how can you say that? Look, get the depth of that last line.
I saw the hanky.
Oh, there goes my collar again. Where's my bow tie?
I swallowed it.
No, here it is on the sidewalk. Excuse me a minute. Where's my collar button?
I knew I swallowed something.
Well, I got another one here in my vest pocket. Oh, say, Ronnie, Ronnie, if you don't mind my talking about your picture again.
Well, not at all, not at all.
Well, I've seen you in a lot of pictures, and I thought that in this one, you were...
Well, thank you.
No, let me finish. I thought that you were miscast.
Oh. So you thought I was miscast?
Yes, you see, in the picture, they have you turn killer and commit murder. And Ronnie, in real life, I mean, you couldn't possibly murder anybody.
Oh, I don't know.
Huh?
Well, it's getting late. We'd better be running along.
No, Benita. No, you can't go home yet. This is the opening of Ronnie's new picture. A night like this calls for a celebration. I know. Let's all go over to my house and play the slot machine.
No, thanks. No, thanks. Benita and I are going to Ciro's. Goodbye.
Wait a minute.
Jack, it's getting kind of late. Maybe we ought to go home.
Mary, we can't run off and leave the Colemans. They'll think I'm snubbing them. Now, we'll all go to Ciro's. Come on, everybody. Oh, taxi! Taxi!
Look, Jack, we can't all get into one taxi. There are four of us.
Okay, you folks take this cab. Mary and I'll take the next one. See you at Ciro's.
See you there. Benita, what a fool I was to let Benny know where we were going.
Oh, what's the difference, darling? And anyway, Mary's such a nice girl.
No, I have nothing against her. I like Mary. It's that Benny I can't stand. Lately, it seems that everywhere I go, I run into him.
It happens to me, too. Last Thursday afternoon, I saw him at Greer Garson's tea.
Benny? At a tea party for women?
Yes. He had a shawl over his head and came around to tell our fortunes.
No.
Yes. Then he took his violin, played golden earrings, and passed around a tambourine.
You mean Benny himself passed the tambourine?
Yes.
Well, that's too bad. His monkey must have died.
Look, darling, let's forget about him. Let's talk about us.
About us?
You know, I didn't have a chance to tell you how much I enjoy Double Life.
Oh.
I think it is the finest picture you've ever made.
Well, thank you very much, darling.
I mean, you know, I'm your severest critic. I think your performance in that picture was magnificent.
Well...
You're wonderful.
Oh...
And, Ronnie?
Yes?
I bought a new fur coat.
What did you say, dear?
I said I thought your performance in the picture was...
Here we are, Ciro's. You're certainly lucky to get this ringside table.
Yes, I hear they have a wonderful floor show.
It was nice we all arrived together and no one was kept waiting.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Say, Jack, it's kind of chilly in here. Will you please get me my coat?
Certainly, Mary. What about you, Benita? Is your coat checked?
No, it's Persian lamb.
Say, that's rather good, Benita.
Yes, I know. I heard it on Fred Allen's program.
Say, how about ordering our food so we'll be through eating when the floor show starts?
All right, I'll call the waiter. Oh, waiter!
Yes!
Waiter, I have a shrimp cocktail, filet mignon rare, and asparagus.
Very good, madame.
I'll have a Caesar salad, lobster a la Newburgh, and broccoli.
Yes, madame.
I think I'll have some consomme, prime ribs of beef, medium rare, and a baked potato.
Yes, sir. And now, what about you, shoulders?
Well, I'll have potage au jour et salade avec roquefort, et la bouffe avec bordelais, et pomme de terre.
Well, get him!
Never mind the comment. Just bring what I order.
Say, Jack, when did you start eating French food?
Since they devaluated the franc.
Would you like something to drink with your dinner? We have some wonderful vintage champagne. Mums 37, Cordon Rouge 33, and Piper Heidsieck 35.
Make mine Schlitz 47. That was a good year, wasn't it?
Not for USC.
Look, never mind the wisecracks. You ought to pay a little more attention to your job. Some waiter. Look at this tablecloth and the napkins. I've never seen such dirty linen.
Will you do them for us, Wong Fu?
That's besides the point. I've never seen such a rude, impertinent waiter. I got a good mind.
Stop raising your voice to me.
What?
Nobody asked you to come in here in the first place. You spoiled my whole evening.
That's the last straw. How about you and me stepping outside?
This is Ciro's. We can do it right here.
Look, waiter, just go get our orders, will
you, please? Oh, all right.
Ronnie, you can come out from under the table. People have stopped staring.
Well, now, let us all have a pleasant evening. Come on. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. Well, that was really a delicious dinner. Did you enjoy yours, Ronnie?
Yeah, I certainly did. Waiter, give me the check, please.
Oh, no, Ronnie. This is my little party.
Oh, but after all, Jack, we're celebrating my new picture.
I don't care. Waiter, don't listen to him. Give me the check.
All right, but you'll hate yourself in the morning.
Never mind. Give it to me. Thank you.
Hey, Ronnie, this is the first time I've ever seen Jack pick up a check. I wonder what happened.
Somebody must have spiked his schlitz.
Waiter, give me your pencil. I want to check these items. Thank you. Now, let's see.
You know, this really has been a grand evening.
Yes, the floor show is wonderful. Cougar's music is so exciting. And this Jerry Lester, such a funny comedian.
And the atmosphere is nice and cozy.
Please, would you all be quiet? I'm going over the check. Now, let's see. Shrimp cocktail, $1. Consommé, 85 cents. Caesar salad, $1.25. Filet mignon. Whoops. Lobster. Ronnie, did you have an extra cup of coffee?
No, Jack, I had milk.
Well, where did this extra cup of coffee come from, waiter?
You ordered it.
I didn't order it, and I want it taken off the bill.
Oh, Jack, please.
Now, you keep out of this, Mary. Waiter, I'm not going to pay for this extra cup of coffee. I want it
to... No, Jack, let me pay the check.
No, Ronnie, this is my party. Now, look, waiter, I don't mind paying for what we got. But I know that no one here had an extra cup of coffee.
Oh, Jack, for heaven's sake.
Now have this bill corrected immediately.
Ronnie, the orchestra's playing. Let's dance our way out the back door.
All right. Anita, come quick. Hurry up.
Now, what about it, waiter?
You ordered the coffee and you'll pay for it.
I ordered it, but I changed my mind and you took it back.
Did you see me leave the table with it?
Yes. By heaven, I saw the coffee in your hand. Oh, perjured waiter.
What?
Thou dost stolen my heart. And makes me call what I intend to do a murder.
Well.
Which I thought a sacrifice. I saw the coffee. Oh, darn it, there goes my collar.
Jack will be back in just a minute, but first, here's Basil Rysdale. By a 50% margin over any other brand, independent tobacco experts name Lucky Strike first choice. Lucky Strike, first choice. Back of that statement is an impartial Crosley poll just completed in 11 southern tobacco states. This famous, authentic research group
reveals that when independent tobacco experts choose a cigarette for their own personal smoking enjoyment,
over 50% more named Lucky Strike than any other brand.
Yes, by a 50% margin over any other brand,
independent tobacco experts name Lucky Strike first choice.
These are the tobacco experts, the independent buyers, auctioneers, and warehousemen who buy, sell, and handle tobacco at the auctions. Men like Mr. Sidney T. Curran, tobacco warehouseman of Oxford, North Carolina, who recently said,
"At auction after auction, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine tobacco that smokes up mild, cool, and fragrant. I've smoked Lucky's myself for 26 years.
So for your own real, deep-down smoking enjoyment, remember,
L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, so round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw. So smoke the smoke tobacco expert smoke. Remember,
by a 50% margin over any other brand, independent tobacco experts name Lucky Strike first choice. Lucky Strike first choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman for being with us tonight. And to Dennis Day, my best wishes and congratulations. Good night, folks.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That was the Jack Benny Program, February 1st, 1948. Jack goes to see Ronald Coleman's picture. Before I forget, I must give credit where credit is due, because Mr. R.B., known to you guys as Ron Bond, provided the Jack Benny Program as well as the next show I'm going to present for you guys, the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, November 13th, 1949. The Engineer.
Good health to all from Rexall. It's the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists.
Good evening. This is your Rexall family druggist with a welcome from all 10,000 of us. The 10,000 independent druggists who have added the word Rexall to our own store names and placed the famous orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows. We've done that because we believe in the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company, and we confidently recommend them to our customers. One of the newest of these products is Rexall's ammoniated tooth powder. Compounded according to the official University of Illinois formula, yet priced no higher than ordinary tooth powder. Quality like this is what we family druggists are talking about when we tell you you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf in his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. For the past few weeks, Phil has been feeling nervous, restless, and irritable. Alice is a little worried, and she's insisted that he go to his doctor for a checkup. Phil has taken Frankie along for moral support. And as we look in, the doctor is just finishing his examination.
Well, there's nothing wrong with you organically, Mr. Harris. Your nervousness must be caused by some outside influence. Tell me, do you drink?
Eight glasses of water every day.
No, I mean, do you partake of alcoholic beverages?
Gee! When you put it so delicately, it's a pleasure to say yes.
And how much do you drink?
Oh, I take an occasional glass. I say an occasional glass. Once in a while, Doctor, I engage in a little SN. social nipping. I just take a little for special occasions like holidays and birthdays. And...
Mondays, Tuesdays.
All right.
Another thing, Mr. Harris, do you lead a regular life?
Oh, sure. I eat well and I get plenty of sleep.
Mm-hmm. What time do you get to bed?
Well, I'm always in bed by 10 or 11. Noon at the latest. Doc, I can't understand why I don't feel good.
Perhaps there's something in your work that's preying on your mind. What do you do for a living?
What do I do for... Oh, Doc, you better put the stopper back in that ether bottle. You're standing too close to the stuff, Doc. You're a little... What do I do for... New doctor, huh? Doctor, I happen to be Phil Harris. I have my own radio program every Sunday. Do you listen to it?
Yes, I've heard it. But what do you do for a living?
Well, that's it. I'm on the radio once a week for Rexall. That's what I do for a living.
Oh, you must be kidding.
Kidding? What's kidding? Kidding. I come up here paying $25 a visit. It's no time of kidding. Kidding. I work like a dog for a half hour every week, and he says, what are you doing? You must be kidding.
Half hour, huh? Well, obviously, you have too much time on your hands. Now, I suggest you do a little work, a little manual labor, something to keep your hands and your mind busy. Build something.
Yeah. Yeah, you got something there, Doc. Hey, thanks, Doc. So long.
So long, sir.
So long. Come on, Remley.
Yeah.
Hey, you know something, Remley? That doctor's all right. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely right. I should create something. You know, I always had a desire to build. That's what's wrong with me. I'm a frustrated engineer. You know something? I want to create something with my brain and then see it take form with my hands. I know if I put my mind to it, I could accomplish a tremendous engineering project. But what? What?
How about filling in the Grand Canyon? Or you could straighten out the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Well, along those lines, but that ain't it. I want to create something new, something that'll be useful.
Mm-hmm. They don't have a bridge between New York and Europe.
That's it. Remley, a bridge to Europe.
What kind of a bridge? Suspension or draw?
Draw. Oh, let's make it stud. No, Remley. On second thought, I'm not ready for anything that big yet. Mm. Look, come on over to my house and maybe we'll think of something smaller, huh? Come on.
You know I'm worried. Phil has been so grouchy and irritable lately. I hope the doctor doesn't find anything serious.
Alice, I hate to tell you this, but I don't think there's anything wrong with Philip. Physically.
What do you mean?
I never wanted to bring this up before, sis, but do you think Philip is all there?
What are you getting at?
Frankly, I don't think he has all his marbles.
Really, that's a very nasty thing to say.
Oh, sis, let's face it. He's never been overly smart, but recently I've noticed a change for the worse. He's been getting more stupid than ever.
That's not so. There hasn't been any change in my Phil.
Oh, Wallace, he wasn't that stupid when he married you.
He was, too! He's been so nervous lately. And...
Daddy! Mommy, has Daddy come home yet?
No, children. He's still at the doctor's. He's trying to find out why he's so nervous.
We know why he's nervous. He's a genius and he's temperamental and he's got a lot on his mind. You don't understand him, Mommy. You should let him go out with the boys more often and he should have more liberty. And he should be... What else did he tell us to say, Alice?
Yes, Alice, what else did he tell you to say?
He said if you raised his allowance, he'd be a lot easier to get along with.
Oh, children, Daddy doesn't mean those things. He just says them to be funny. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, the old corn pone is quite a clip. He thinks of the darndest things to tell the children.
Alice, I'm home. Where are you, honey?
Oh, hello, dear. Hello, Frankie.
Hi, Alice.
What'd the doctor say, Phil?
I'm in great shape. There's nothing wrong with me. All I need is something to occupy my spare time, and I know just what I'm going to do. I'm going to become an engineer.
A what?
An engineer. I-N-J-U-N-E-A-R.
What kind of an engineer, dear? Civil, mechanical, aeronautical, or choo-choo?
Well, I haven't made up my mind yet. I may dabble with a little of each.
Oh, Phil, I never heard of anything so ridiculous. Where did you ever get such a crazy idea?
Go ahead. Laugh at me. Laugh it up. People are always laughing at genius. They laughed at Edison. They thought he was crazy. They thought Fulton was crazy. They thought Marconi was crazy.
They even thought Sam Fromkus was crazy.
Yeah, they even thought... Who is Sam Fromkus?
My uncle. He was crazy.
Look, Alice, maybe there's something around the house that I could build. You know, something that we need, something useful, like an indoor swimming pool or maybe an elevator in the entrance hall.
How about a parachute jump in the backyard?
Oh, please.
Or a camel run in the attic.
Will you two stop? What's a camel run?
Well, I don't know, but my aunt used to have one. That's what drove my uncle crazy.
Meshuggah Fromkus, huh?
Look, Bill, if you want to do something useful around the house, I have something for you to do.
Well, good, and I hope it's something worthy of my engineering talents.
It is. I want you to change the bulb in the light over the garage.
Change a bulb? Oh, Alice, you're asking me to do a child's job.
I know. But with Frankie to help you, you might be able to handle it. Now, just change the bulb and have it done by the time I get back from the market. I'll see you later.
Have it done by the time I get back from the market. How do you like that? She's asking a great engineer like me to change a bulb.
Yeah. You, the greatest stud bridge builder in the world.
Well, let's go out in the garage and change the bulb. It might lead to something bigger.
All right, but first let's make sure the bulb needs changing. I'll stay here and turn the switch on. You go out to the garage and see if it lights.
No, we can't do it that way. We got to go out to the garage to turn it on and off.
Why don't you have a switch put in the house?
Oh, I don't know. Alice was supposed to call the electrician and have one put in, but... Frankie!
Naturally! And I'll help you.
Hey. Yeah, do you know anything about wiring?
I know as much as you do.
Then we're in business. All we have to do is to put a switch in the wall here, run some wires to the garage, and we're in.
Sure. Hand me that hammer. I'll knock a hole in the wall and make a place for the switch.
Okay. Here. Now, look, in the meantime, I'm going to go down to the cellar and get some wire. Remley, be sure you make that hole big enough so we can get our hands in to connect the wires.
Please. I know what I'm doing. You take care of your end. Go down and get the wire.
Okay. Hey, I guess this will prove to Alice that I'm a pretty handy guy. She thinks I'm just a lousy musician. I'll show her that ain't the only thing I am. I'm a pretty famous guy. I got my picture on the cover of this month's Radio Mirror. I just made a new record for Victor called The Old Master Painter. And now let me see, is there anything else I want to plug? Now let me see, what are we short on? Nah, we're loaded. I guess I can sing all right. Thank you. master painter from the faraway hills painted the violets and the daffodils. He put the purple in the twilight haze, then did a rainbow for the rainy days. Dreamed up the murals on the blue summer skies, painted the devil in my darling's eyes. Captured the dreamer with a thousand thrills, the old master painter from the faraway hills. Then came his masterpiece, and when he was through, he smiled down from heaven and he gave me you. What a beautiful job on that wonderful day, the old master painter from the hills far away.
He paints some murals on blue summer skies. He paints the love light in my darling's
faraway hills, painted the violets and the daffodils. He put the purple in the twilight haze, then did a rainbow for the rainy days. Dreamed up the murals on the blue summer skies, painted the devil in my darling's eyes. Captured a dreamer with a thousand thrills, the old master painter from the faraway hills. Then came his masterpiece, and when he was through, he smiled down from heaven and he gave me you. What a beautiful job on that wonderful day, the old master painter from the hills far away, far away, far away.
The old master painter from the hills far away.
Hey, Frankie, I got the wire. Look, have you got that hole big enough so we can... Frankie? Hey, Frankie, where are you?
I'm right here, in the wall.
Oh, no, look at the size of that. Remley, come out of that hole.
Oh, you come on in. Plenty of room for both of us.
What's the idea of making this hole this big?
I figured we might as well be comfortable as long as we're going to be working in here for a couple of weeks.
What are you talking about, a couple of weeks?
Let's face it, Curly. We don't know what we're doing. Liable to be here all winter.
Maybe you don't know what you're doing, but I do.
You do, huh? Well, look over here. I want to show you something, Steinmetz.
Okay, I'll look. What was that last word you laid on me?
Steinmetz. It's a man's name.
I don't think that name's funny. It ain't half as funny as Clyde or Myrtle.
I'm not trying to be funny.
Then why are you making up names like Steinmetz? You better watch it, kid. You're getting pretty hokey.
Curly, Steinmetz happens to be a famous scientist.
I don't care who he is. He hasn't got a funny name. It does nothing to me. As far as I'm concerned, it's even a bad straight line.
All right. I'm sorry I mentioned the name. I hate it. The worst name I ever heard.
Oh, it's not that bad, Randy. Don't happen to strike my fancy. Other people might howl.
Oh,
at it,
shut up. All I want to do is show you something, Sam. See you play around with
all
that.
All right,
one.
All right.
Now, what do you want to show me?
Well, look. Look at this maze of wires in the wall here. Must be 50 of them.
So?
So, which ones do we connect to the garage? Which is which?
What difference which is which? Wires is wires.
I like your scientific approach.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All I got to do is to take one length of this wire that I brought from the cellar and attach it to the positive post of the switch box thusly.
Mm-hmm.
Then I take another length of wire and attach it to the negative post like so.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the two exposed ends of the wires are joined together, it will close the circuit, and presto, we have incandescent light. That finishes my end of the job.
How do you know there's an electric current running through them wires?
Well, all you got to do is to pick up them two exposed wires, and then we'll be able to tell.
Well, who's got to do?
You. That's your end of the job.
Oh, yeah. Well, pardon me while I slit my trouser leg and shave my head.
What's that for?
I want to be properly attired for my electrocution. I got news for you, Curly. I'm not holding any live wires. Guy can get fried that way.
Well, maybe you're right. I guess this kind of dangerous.
Mm.
I see your point. I ain't got no right to ask anybody to hold two live wires because they might go...
Hey, where is everybody? I brought the groceries.
Well, if it ain't Julius, we got nothing to lose if he blows a fuse of broomfield. Hey, come on in here, kid.
Come in where? Where are you?
Well, we're in the... Oh, never mind. We'll come out there. Here we are.
Oh, no. Now they're crawling out of the woodwork. Where did you guys come from?
We were in the wall.
Well, don't use termites come out of my account. Stay in and finish your dinner.
I wish I was a termite so I could gnaw a hole in that wooden head of yours.
I don't wish to be impertinent, but what were you doing in the wall?
We were doing a little wiring job. You want to step in and watch us?
Yeah. Oh, no, you don't. I don't use guys. As soon as I step in, you'll plaster up that hole and seal me in there.
Julius, how could you say that? Heavens, what a gruesome thought.
Gruesome, but appealing. Ain't nobody... Ain't nobody gonna miss him. No, no, we need him right now. Remember that next week.
Hey, come on, Julius. We're not up to anything. We'll go in first, and we'll show you.
Okay, I'll follow you. How do you know what you're doing with all these wires in here? What are they all for?
It's simple, kid. I'll explain. Now, these are telephone wires, these are intercommunication wires, and these are electric wires.
What's this thick one?
That's the gas wire. It carries the gas to the oven.
Mr. Harris, you have a remarkable grasp of absolutely nothing. Did you study all this in college?
No, never took a lesson, kid. Came by my knowledge naturally. I happen to have a mechanical brain.
Well, the next time your mechanic works on it, have him look around. I think he left one of his tools up there.
Hey, look, kid, as long as you're here, you can help us. Pick up that loose wire and hand it to me, will you?
Which one? There's two of them here.
Well, pick them both up. Look, and hold one in each hand so you don't get them mixed up.
You mean like this, Mr. Harris?
Hey, Frankie, it works. I knew I had the right wires.
You sure did, Curly. You got a good, solid connection, too.
Yeah.
Just look at old Julius Glow.
So this is what they mean when they say a child brightens up a home. Yeah.
He ought to be ashamed of himself getting lit at that tender age.
Hey, Curly's starting to spark a little. Shall I turn him off?
No, let him go. You burn out soon. Besides, this is better than working in the dark.
Yeah. Hey, if he had a hooked nose, we could hang him over the water pipe and use him as a trouble light.
Emily, we better disconnect him. His filament is wearing thin.
All right, I'll turn off the switch.
You can stop now. We turned you off.
What's the matter with you guys? Making me hold two live wires. I'm running out of here.
What are you talking like that for?
You melted all the gold in my little teeth.
Rather nervous, child. Everything excites him.
He's a worrier. That kid don't watch out, he's going to have a fluorescent ulcer before he's 17. Well, Remley, I guess I proved that I know all about electricity.
I don't think you could do it, Curly. Hey, as soon as we put the wires out to the garage, Alice will be able to turn the light on from here.
Oh, no, that ain't all I'm going to do for her. Huh? I'm going to make her life easier by making everything in this house electric. Now, let's get to work and have it finished by the time she gets back.
Okay, what are we going to do?
Well, now, look, we're going to put a switchboard in the kitchen, and then she'll be able to control everything in the house from here.
Uh-huh.
The phonograph, the radio, the sprinkler system, the telephone, the garage light, and I'll even put a switch that'll open and close the garage door. Now, look, Remley, you take these wires. Alice, you got here right at the right time. We just finished.
Finished what? Phil, what are all these switches on the kitchen wall?
It's to make life easy for you, honey.
Yeah, you're going to love us for this, sweetheart. You've got switches for everything in the house. Phonograph, telephone, sprinkler.
Everything, honey. Now, look, go ahead, push one. They're all marked. Hey, push this one. It'll turn on the light in the garage.
Okay. Did it go on?
No, it didn't. Must be something wrong. Wait a minute. It's starting to glow. Look, it's getting brighter.
Yeah, it's burning good now. Flames.
Flames? Oh, we must have a short circuit. The garage is on fire.
I don't get excited. I'll get it out. I'll push the sprinkler switch.
Long distance. Mama Mia.
Long distance? You pushed the sprinkler switch. What happened?
I guess we had that switch marked wrong. I'll try this one.
The Rams have the ball on the 45-yard line. Dick Carter is knifing through right tackle. He's running past the 40-yard line. He's running past the 30. Running past the 20.
Tell him to keep running. When he passes the firehouse, tell him to turn in the alarm.
Let me up that phone and I'll call the fire.
Don't touch that phone, Alice. We get in there,
out of you my can't... way and let me dial the operator.
Oh.
There's some rheumatism pills for the settlers in the hills. Get along.
Hang up that phone! Hang that phone up!
What was that?
That's the one thing we haven't been able to lick. Every time we dial the phone, we get mule train.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. But first, here's your Rexall Family Druggist.
Have you ever witnessed a race between life and death?
Golly, that sounds serious.
Well, ma'am, the race I'm talking about is serious because it's run to test the germ-killing power of Rexall's famous mouthwash, MI-31.
Just how is it done?
A culture of the bacteria usually found in the mouth is grown under carefully controlled laboratory conditions until it reaches an accepted standard of strength. Then a very tiny measurement of full-strength MI-31 is pitted against this thriving, rugged bacteria.
I see. That's the beginning of the race.
Yes, ma'am. And the end comes only seconds later. Because immediately afterward, the bacteria to which the MI-31 was added is given ideal conditions to hang on and thrive. But if it doesn't grow, then Rexall's MI-31 has killed it on contact. And needless to say, full-strength MI-31 must kill germs on contact, or it isn't good enough to wear the Rexall label.
You know, I'm beginning to understand more and more why you family druggists tell us...
You can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall? Well, ma'am, it's absolutely true.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Hey, Curly, I can't understand how we got all the wires crossed. None of these switches work like they're supposed to.
Hey, here's one we haven't tried yet. This is the one that opens and closes the garage door. I'm going to try it.
You better not. Alice might not like it.
She'll never know. She's upstairs taking a bath. You watch the garage door while I push the switch.
Okay. Nothing happened yet. Keep pushing it.
Phil! Phil, come up and help me, quick!
What's the matter, honey?
Something keeps opening and closing the bathroom window.
Next time you have a headache, remember Rexall Aspirin. By laboratory test, Rexall Aspirin disintegrates faster than any other leading brand tested. This means that when swallowed with water, the 5 full grains of pure aspirin contained in every Rexall aspirin tablet are ready to go to work for you even before they reach your stomach. Ask for Rexall aspirin wherever you see the orange and blue Rexall sign on the window. And remember, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Stay tuned for The Adventures of Sam Spade. It's next on NBC.
That was the Phil Harris Ellis Fay Show, November 13th, 1949. The Engineer. Well, gang, this is about going to wrap it up for my presentation here on Michael's Saturday Surprise for this Saturday. Hope you guys have enjoyed these two great shows that I've enjoyed presenting for you guys tonight. Don't forget to join us every Saturday here on Michael's Saturday Surprise at the same time. Let me turn the mic over to my good friend Luis, put the finishing touches on tonight's presentation. Luis, my friend, wake up. Come on. Wake up. Come and tell these people how to post complaints, comments, grievances, questions, and even a request or two, or anything else that may be on their minds for that matter.
Okay, Mike, thanks a lot and great work as usual. You set them up, now it's my turn to knock them down. Unfortunately, folks, that's just about going to do it for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. It's been a great run, but unfortunately, all good things have to come to an end. So if you have any questions, comments, complaints, maybe even a request or two, please address them not to me, because I'm only the messenger, you know, don't shoot the messenger. But in fact, address them to MicaMelli@earthlink.net. I'm sure the MSS director would be glad to open up those emails. That's MikeAmeli@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and turning over the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But remember, be nice to one another. Otherwise, Lucky Lou and the California Kid will be paying you a visit. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.